Author's notes, disclaimer, I do not own Naruto. Hopes up high, head down low, but with a hope that high, I won't need to be able to look up to get an eyeful of it. Huh. Chapter 10, The Red Eyes of the Devil. Asuma had his trench knives out, and his eyes peeled for anything. He had managed to easily dispose of Zabuza's mist, but the man was still renowned for his stealth skill. It wouldn't have been a stretch at all for someone like Zabuza to be able to get the drop on him in a wooded area like the forest they were fighting in. It wasn't even a clearing. They were fighting among the trees. Okay, as long as he can't get the drop on me, I have the advantage. He can't create his mist, and we aren't near any water for him to use any water ninjutsu Kakashi told me about. Zabuza already knew where Asuma was. He was clearly just waiting for an opening to strike. Running around the area to look for him would do no good, so the only thing he could do was try to pinpoint his location from where he was standing. Otherwise, he'd just be giving Zabuza a license to stalk him down and kill him, Mr. Not. So, why didn't you heed Naruto's warning? Asuma said, actually sounding rather cross at this whole thing, how this whole thing actually worked out. Naruto's still not going to pay you, even if you finish off Tazuna. Zabuza's laughter echoed evenly all around him, causing the laid-back Jonin to let out a curse at not being able to use the voice to find him. I'm not going to believe the words of some bleeding heart brat just because you found my base and have tried having a heartfelt conversation, he said. And when I kill you and Kakashi and then the bridge builder, I should still have more than enough energy to deal with the things, even if Gato's as foolish as you said.
Asuma let out a chuckle.
I know I don't have as cool a nickname as Kakashi has to help people recognize me, but I didn't win my ranking in a raffle or something, you know.
After saying that, he jumped aggressively to the side to avoid a slash that took down an entire tree in one swing. Asuma turned to face that tree that had just been felled and could have represented his headless body had he not been faster.
And I'm going to prove it for the first time in a while.
Zabuza's voice rang out again.
I'm sure you didn't. But Konoha ninja like you aren't made of that stuff that tough. The same thing I told Kakashi. When I was the age of your brats, I'd already taken more than my fair share of lies.
Good for you, Asuma said dryly, not seeing what that had to do with him at the moment.
Do you want to tell me how cool you are, or how scared I am? Oh, I know, you probably want a cigarette, right? Sorry, I don't share with people that try to kill me. Funny man, Zabuza growled out. Well, I'll clear-cut this entire forest if I have to before I slice right through you. You'll be dead before the sun is fully up.
Asuma sighed and held up his trench knives in the defense of Taijutsu stance.
I'd love for you to stop talking about it and go ahead and try it, if you're actually going to do it. With pleasure, Zabuza said before a shadow dropped to the ground from behind and rushed at Asuma.
A diagonal slash from a map. Massive sword nearly sliced through Asuma as it cut into the ground, but Asuma was able to get himself to the side of the move and cut into the figure's hip with one of his trench knives. As he heard the splash of water hitting the ground, it was too much for it to be blood from a wound, and he kept himself ready and composed for the next attack. The next attack was Zabuza's sword flying through the woods swiftly, aimed right at Asuma. Seeing this almost made Asuma's jaw drop. If it were not for the fact that he had stopped to gawk at it, it would have been the last thing he would have ever seen. Jumping into the air to avoid the blade, Asuma missed Zabuza darting from the dark points of the forest that had still not been touched by the low light of the sun. Before he could touch the ground and regain footing, Asuma was knocked aside harshly from a kick by Zabuza that shot his body into a tree with a dull crack, hopefully the crack of the tree trunk and not one of his vertebrae.
Man, my taijutsu is getting sloppy. Either need to take a more hands-on approach in helping Naruto develop his, or I need to find Guy when we get back. That was pathetic.
Growling to himself, getting his hit solidly so easily, Asuma stood back and noticed that Zabuza hadn't taken to hiding again, as he had before, choosing instead to retrieve his sword from the tree he'd embedded it in. Asuma pulled out a kunai and threw it directly at Zabuza without any setup or indication of his actions. Zabuza merely rolled his eyes when the kunai was launched, as he simply stepped aside.
Do you really think that a simple kunai is going to?
He was silenced when the kunai punched straight through the tree his sword was caught in. He looked and saw that it had been where his head had previously been level with it. Turning back to Asuma now, he saw that the Konoha Jonin had vanished from his sight, And while he didn't think Asuma was on his level in that department, he was aware that Konoha Jonin, hidden amongst the trees, was damnably dangerous. They all damn near grew up in the fucking forest. He preferred being in the open, using his mist to mask his approach. With something like a forest this thick, and with trees so close together, any ninja worth their salt could find a way to turn the tables in this environment. And much like himself, from what had been shown, Asuma would only need one shot at him to end the fight as well. When he comes out, I'm gonna lop his head off and move on. But that kunai he used, is he a wind user? He must be, for the kunai to go through the tree that easily. Throwing the executioner's blade couldn't even get all the way through the way that little kunai did. Zabuza was beginning to realize he might have made a miscalculation. If this dragged into a battle of attrition, then he might not even have enough left in the tank to keep going and take Kakashi on after he won. A jonin, no matter what the village, even if he believed it was soft or not, was not to be taken lightly. However, having a genin like Naruto, who seemed to be so pacifistic on his squad, he believed the jonin was much the same way. "You're not bad for a Konoha ninja," Asuna said, where he'd hidden himself, using his wind mastery to distort the air around him and space out the sound of his voice. "Well, I'm kind of the son of the Hokage. If I did kick ass, I would never hear the end of it." Not being able to locate Asuma from the sound of his voice, Zabuza had to refrain from chuckling to himself. "Apparently, I'm not the only person that likes taunting people from the shadows," he thought to himself as he yanked the executioner's blade from the tree. Just as the blade was free, Asuma dropped from the branches above and immediately broke into a taijutsu attack with his pair of trench knives. Zabuza was able to use his massive cleaver to keep Asuma from striking him and cutting into him before he retaliated with a hard swing of his own. Asuma held his knives and defended the attack, but Zabuza's raw power broke through his guard and threw him back and away. Stocking himself by backing against a tree, Asuma lifted his arms over his head to block a downward swing from Zabuza's sword, coming so close to being cut by the blade that it actually smacked against the metal of his headband, lightly enough to be safe, but hard enough to make an audible ping noise. Asuma grunted in the effort of blocking the mammoth weapon, shoving it over to the side and ducking out of its way as it finished its descent into the ground. Asuma rolled back to his feet and leapt at Zabuza from the side to make an attempt on him. "Not fast enough," the former Kyuubi had said, as he stepped out of the way and let Asuma pass him by, only for a rather deep slash to form on his chest. Zabuza watched his own blood fly through the air and seemingly saw some of it stick to an invisible surface in midair for a moment. "What the hell just happened?" he thought to himself. He wasn't hurt enough to quit, not by a long shot, but not knowing what could happen would only be a disadvantage. Asuma slid to a stop from his rushing attack and looked back at Zabuza and the wound he'd made on the imposing ninja. "Nice. Okay, let's get this started for real. Hopefully the kids are doing okay against their opponent. It's 3-on-1. It should be fine."
Team 10 versus Haku.
"This is so not cool," Naruto thought to himself as he took another set of senbon to various places on his body. "Which one is the real one? Is real, damn it," he thought to himself, picking the needles out of his body as he stared at the dome of mirror surrounding him, Haku's reflection, staring at Naruto impassively with the mask on her face, giving him no indication of where the next attack would be coming from. "Please surrender, Naruto," Haku said, in almost a pleading fashion. "I do not wish to kill someone with a good heart like you." "I'm not going to quit, Haku," Naruto said, gritting his teeth at the mere thought of giving up when his team and tons of people were counting on him. "I think I've had enough of your funhouse mirrors from hell. I think I'll leave now," he said, before letting the chakra under his feet fade, allowing him to fall into the surface. As he tried to swim his way under the dome, he learned it wasn't a dome. It was an entire sphere of ice mirrors, and the ones underwater all had Haku's reflection brandishing senbon, ready for attack. "Son of a bitch, give me a break already." Trying to swim back to the surface was his only option, as he was far slower underwater than he was above it. Creating some clones to form a defensive shell around him, he quickly made his way back up, as they were all punctured by Haku's metal needles and dispelled. Placing his feet back on the surface of the water, he began making movement, any kind of lateral movement. If he kept staying still, he would only be making himself an easier target for Haku, which she didn't need for him to do for her. It seems like, for as much as he had worked on his physical conditioning, after seeing and being ragdolled by Rock Lee once, he was still nowhere near as fast as he wanted to be. "And Haku seems faster than Lee did." In his mind at the moment, the only solace he could take over the present situation was that he was the only member of his team currently stuck inside the dome and getting systematically picked apart by the ice-wielding ninja.
Naruto is far from slow. He's the fastest one on the team. Not counting Asuma, of course. He's leaps and bounds ahead of Ino and Shikamaru in that department. But he wasn't fighting Ino or Shikamaru. He was fighting Haku. As long as he was stuck inside this death trap, he was just doing nothing but dragging the fight out for as long as he could. Neither of his teammates could beat Haku. Of this he was certain. Confident in them he was, not for this. How would Shikamaru trap her if he couldn't even determine where she was? She was too fast for the mind-body switch jutsu to hit her. How would Ino even begin to go about fighting her? If he couldn't win, or if Asuma didn't show up, then they were screwed. Multi-shadow clone jutsu! He couldn't touch Haku. Then everything he had learned about taijutsu up to this point was useless. Thus, he needed to switch tactics. Chakra echolocation. From the thick shell of shadow clones that attempted to keep him covered as best they could, Naruto tried to pinpoint the exact location of Haku. Which mirror was she actually hiding in? After several attempts of trying to get a lock on her, he found himself unable to exactly do so. Every time he did it again, it would always say a different spot than it had previously. As the last two clones were defeated by Haku's speedy attack from out of his effective range, he came to a conclusion. She's moving between the mirrors. The reflections are an illusion. She's only really in one at a time, but she moves too fast for me to see. Creating more clones, Naruto watched as Haku seemingly stopped playing around and obliterated them before he could even begin any kind of effort of freeing himself. She seemed to be his exact opposite style-wise. Naruto's entire fighting style was close distance and batter his opponents into submission or incapacitation, either by himself or by use of his clones. From what he'd seen of Haku, she wasn't very good up close for someone who had trained by a guy carrying a big-ass sword like Zabuza. She chose to remain out of his range of effectiveness and pick him apart from afar. The senbon were beginning to wear on him. Shikamaru had his fists clenched tightly as he watched Naruto desperately try to escape from whatever Haku had formed to separate them from him. They had attempted to throw a kunai with an explosive note attached to it. However, it was knocked from the air by a group of Haku's senbon and diffused in the water. Part of him wanted to say to hell with it and charge out like a samurai or something, but he knew that would make him more of a liability than a help in that case. And then there was the key fact, he couldn't walk on water. Every plan he could think of would have Ino heading out there instead of him, and that would be worse than if he had been able to attack directly. So our strongest direct fighter is already out there in a fight and trapped against someone that's his exact antithesis. He wouldn't even need our help if we could just get him out of there. Ino, on the other hand, could walk on water, and she was having to physically grab onto bushes they were hiding in behind to keep from heading out there, because she knew once she got there, she'd be absolutely no help whatsoever. There's only one thing she could think of that would get him out, and she was the only one that could do it. Shikamaru, she finally said to him, gulping down some fear. There's only one thing I can think of that will help Naruto. You already know what it is. No, he said firmly. We don't need to do that. There's another way. There has to be. Naruto's shadow clone jutsu was the most battle-ready technique they had at the moment. If this were a board game of some sort, he would be the piece meant for attack and maneuvering around defenses. Without Naruto, any strategy Shikamaru could create wouldn't have as much weight as it otherwise would have. They all knew who was the workhorse of the squad, and their team dynamic was centered around that fact. Ino wasn't stupid either. She had seen the fight up to this point, and she also knew just as well as Shikamaru did that Naruto and open space was perhaps the most dangerous Genin period, rookie or not. Without him, they were as good as a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. Actually, more akin to a no-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, since Naruto was their most mobile member. Shikamaru, Ino growled out dangerously at the usually lazy ninja. You know those strategies we spent so much time on learning and drilling? Well, this is one of those situations. This is actually the best situation for one of them, and you know which one it is. You're the one who came up with them all. Shikamaru narrowed his eyes at the scene and analyzed it as best he could, while watching another horde of Naruto clones split up in an attempt to fool Haku and allow Naruto to escape. As he saw Naruto's clones and thought back to team training they had done in the past, and realized how Naruto was surrounded, his eyes popped open wide. Do you think he'll know what it is once you start it? Ino scoffed and rolled her eyes. Well, he better know. If he doesn't, then I'm screwed, but at least he'll be out no matter what. That's what's important about this. If he's outside, we can win this no matter what happens to me in the end. Turning back to Naruto's bid to stay in the fight against Haku somehow, Shikamaru narrowed his eyes. Well, go then, and be careful. Ino grinned as she formed three hand seals and prepared to enter the battle. Naruto had taken to making formations of clones to get out,
But no kind of setup he tried would throw Haku off enough to allow him to escape. I should have figured that a flanks only really works when you at least have shields, though. Man, I'm stupid. But the four diamond formations of five clones should have really confused her enough for me to get out. As fun as it was for him to be looking like a human porcupine and feeling like he rolled around on the ground in an actual one, he needed to get the hell out of here. He had been getting his ass kicked for long enough, in his opinion. Since letting go of his hold on his chakra and dropping underneath the surface of the water for a short nap started seeming more and more like an appealing idea than standing up here with the metal needles protruding all over his body and moving around. Naruto, I will only ask you this one more time. Please give up, or I will finish you this time, Haku said, brandishing even more Senbon from her person. What the hell? Did she have entire bandoliers of the thing strapped to her body underneath that kimono? There's a word I'm looking for, Naruto said to her before creating 10 more clones and trying to doggedly get out one more time. No. Sorry then, Haku said before blasting the charging mass of clones with her weaponry. One of the clones thought fast and shoved Naruto out of the way of the attack, keeping the original from taking damage from this particular counterattack by Haku. Naruto growled to himself as he looked around at all the mirrors. If you were sorry, we wouldn't be fighting. I wanted to help you, Haku. I thought we were friends. We could have just attacked you and not warned you at all, and this is what we get for trying to tip you off? It is Zabuza-sama's will, Haku said sadly. Fine, Naruto said with a real growl. I guess I don't have anything left to say. You're going to try and kill us, and there's nothing I can do about that. We'll put you down before you actually pull it off, he said. But he couldn't think of a damn way out. He hadn't even touched the damn mirrors yet to see how durable they were. And then there was the damn huge gaps that he could have easily darted out if he could have gotten to them. But no matter how hard he tried, he wound up getting hit by acupuncture, hell, and thrown back. Goodbye, Naruto, Haku said, holding up the senbon, prepared to throw them. But suddenly, she went on guard as a puff of smoke surrounded Naruto's body. As it cleared, it simply revealed Naruto. But this Naruto didn't have any needles in him, or any wounds on his body. Just what before her statement could finish, the grinning, unscathed Naruto in the dome was surrounded by another puff of smoke. As it cleared to reveal a battle-weary-looking Naruto, the one that had been there first. That Naruto turned to run away and escape, but he didn't get far before Haku put him down with her senbon. Behind her mask, her jaw dropped as it burst into smoke, leaving her alone in the dome. She looked at the lake area surrounding her dome of mirrors and saw nothing. Naruto was nowhere in the area, but she could see. What just happened? Where did he go? Shikamaru smirked as a ruffle of sounds next to him signified someone's presence. Well, I have to say, I didn't think one of our plans would work in this situation. Collapsing point triangle swing complete. Next to him, Naruto holding Ino bridal style before crouching and setting her down low, like both him and Shikamaru, was grinning like mad despite his injuries. Ino, when you used Kurimi to switch with me, that scared the hell out of me. I didn't remember making any clones that got away from Haku that would have been able to do that. Ino's smile was bright. It could have lit up a dark room. Well, watching you get people all the time with Henge made me realize it's not such a bad plan. I'm just glad you realized that what was happening before she threw those needles at me. You sure hightailed it out of there with me once we were in the clear. Do you like holding me that much, Naruto? She joked before actually paying attention to his appearance. Now that they were free and clear at the moment, she was able to see all his wounds that Haku had inflicted on him. God, Naruto, are you going to be all right? I'll be fine, he assured her tensely before as he began pulling the needles out of his body. I feel more drowsy than anything, Naruto said, blinking back some fatigue. I'm never tired, though. What I want to do for some reason is shut my eyes. Shikamaru helped Naruto pull out needles from places he couldn't see or reach. Team 7 said the hunter ninja that got Zabuza away hit them in a pressure point on him that put him out cold. Maybe that's what's happening to you. Shit, I hope not, Naruto thought to himself. As the last of over a dozen and a half needles fell from his flesh to the ground. He couldn't afford to start feeling sluggish because of some pressure points took some good hits. His team needed him. They were about to come up with a counterattack, whatever the plan was. He was probably going to be vital to whatever it was. Asuma versus Zabuza. The fight between Zabuza and Asuma was becoming a rather brutal close-up affair. After it became clear that neither of them felt like jumping around the other, beating around the bush, they simply began trying to cut the other one down with their respective weaponry. However, Zabuza was having a smidge of trouble with Asuma for some reason. Zabuza held up his blade as a slash brushed the width of his sword. The thing about it was, Asuma's trench knife blades weren't even touching his sword. trying to use his reach advantage for some reason, just wouldn't pan out for him. Maybe because when he thought he was several feet out of Osmo's range, the man would still wind up hitting his sword. There was also the fact that Osmo was actually faster than he was. More than once, Osmo had caught him flat-footed and had almost taken out his head while barely needing to get in range to take shots at him. Whatever he's doing is expanding the reach of his weapons. I can't see it, so I can't accurately judge the range that he's attacking at. That style was dangerous for someone who relied mostly on close-range fighting the way Zabuza did it to face off against. Asuma's taijutsu was purely intended for him to come close and make contact with his trench knives. His style was very hand-oriented, something of a hard boxing style, that even when he missed would allow him to cut his enemies if they were close enough. And most of the time they were. Zabuza seemed to have gotten the message early on and tried blocking Asuma's trench knives themselves instead of trying to dodge the attack. So he's already worked out how Flying Swallow goes, huh? Has he? Points to him, I guess. Zabuza let out an angry grunt of exertion as another swing of his sword saw Asuma dance back out of his range. I can't keep wasting time on this guy. There's still Kakashi to deal with. Hasn't Haku gotten to finishing off those brats yet? She probably won't ever, Asuma said with a smirk on his face as he stayed ready in a boxing stance. My brats, as you like to call them, are damn effective. They have all kinds of premeditated plans for dealing with people stronger than them. They train against me, after all. He neglected to mention that they never really gotten him before. That was because his raw experience helped him out when they made mistakes. 3-on-1, they got all possible bases covered. Yeah, I'm sure, Zabuza said sarcastically. The blonde brat that you walked right to my front door and thought he could leave. I'm certain he's a real killer. And there you go again, Asuma said in a rather disgruntled manner. The only thing you believe that makes a good ninja is how well they can kill. That's why your dream of overthrowing the Mizukage will never gain any traction. He could sense that he now had Zabuza's ire. Who's going to lead afterwards? You? You don't know the first thing about being a leader. Your close confidant is someone you see as a tool, expendable. You're too aggressive for your own damn good. You didn't even wait to hear what Naruto had to say towards Gato. Didn't even listen for a moment. Zabuza rolled his eyes at having past events from Asuma. He was there. He knew what he had done, and he still couldn't care less about it. He had planned on killing Gato once they got paid. The little runt seriously needed to watch who he's talking to like he owned them in the future, if he actually lived past today. All of Naruto's admittance told him was that he's right on the money and needed a plan once the job was complete. But Asuma continued, that kid has more leadership qualities than you do, despite the tactical error he made getting us out here. And I don't see it being as that bad. We can win, because I don't have any problems with killing you myself. You're a really big talker, Zabuza said in amusement. You do know who I am, right? Even Kakashi was wary of me when he fought him. Yeah, yeah, Asuma said. That's because his genin were there and he had to watch them and Tazuna at the same time. I don't have to. I can just focus on kicking your ass and to hell with collateral damage. I don't have to hold back like he did. Plus, you can't use your mist on me. I'll just blow it away. There's no body of water for me to use, Zabuza thought to himself. Damn that brat for discovering me before they could get closer to water. Setting his sword for another attempt on Asuma's life, he prepared to come at the man again. Asuma narrowed his eyes in preparations for the charge and made a set of hand seals. Fire release. Ash pile burning. From Asuma's mouth, a thick black powder spewed forth, covering a wide-scale area over the immediate battle area. Asuma immediately shut his eyes, and the wraps around his nose and mouth were able to flick out most of the bad air generated by Asuma's technique. Does he really think this is a disadvantage? He might as well have set my mist back off for the good this will do him. If he can't see me, that's all better, he thought as he began moving through the ash to find an angle to attack Asuma. Time to smoke you out, Asuma said, before clicking a piece of flint in his mouth with his teeth, creating a spark that ignited the ash, and caused a massive explosion. Team 10 versus Haku. Haku stayed within the confines of her ice mirrors on the lakes as she eventually located Team 10's hiding place, not far from the shore. She would have attacked them, but it was three of them against one of her. She would have to leave the mirrors. She didn't think she could trap them all, especially after they'd already seen the move, and attacking them would mean having to again engage Naruto on his terms, and she had learned a rather painful lesson the last time he'd hit her, telling her that a fight where he had the opportunity to close the distance wasn't to her advantage. For both sides, at the moment, they were at a stalemate. Haku wasn't about to leave the mirrors, but the longer she stayed in them, the more chakra she wasted. On the other hand, Team 10 didn't have to move at all. Haku was their responsibility to handle, and they could just keep her there if they had to. However, depending on who won the battle between Asuma and Zabuza raging on, in the meantime, could either be a good move or the strategy that would seal their fate. That was the plan for both sides of the moment. Hold out for the time being until the other two finished their battle and arrived to help them finish. It was the plan until the sounding of an explosion came from within the forest, getting easily the full attention of Team 10, especially Haku, who knew Zabuza didn't use any attacks that had a fiery explosion. Zabuza-sama! Haku rushed from her mirrors to let them fall into the water as she took off across the surface of the lake, headed towards Zabuza to ensure he was safe. She started moving faster as she saw a shadow move out from the brush towards her across the surface in an effort to cut her off at the pass. Haku diverted her attention to dodge the shadow moving at her. She had no clue what it did, but she wasn't curious enough to let it catch her so that she could find out. Moving to avoid the shadow as she made it to land, she almost wasn't able to avoid an attack from a contingent of shadow clones that had been lying in wait. Once Haku started to move back through the trees, she found herself utterly bogged from going any further by a coordinated assault from Naruto's shadow clones. How can he still keep going? He can still make so many and have them fight so well. Ignoring that train of thought, she had to get the Zabuza off. The fireball that erupted from over 5 miles away was in any indication how his fight was going. Get out of my way. I need to get to Zabuza. You're not going anywhere, the clone shouted as six of them moved in while five more stayed back in an attempt to pelt her from above with weaponry. Naruto, and by proxy, his clones weren't Tenten. Thus, all that the Kunai and Shuriken did from above was force Haku off her intended path. Didn't even slow her down or stop her as a pair of Naruto's infantry clones were put out of commission swiftly by two well-placed senbon from Haku. After dealing with five more clones that attempted to cut her off and stop her, it was quite clear that she wasn't going to be facing off with the original as long as she was rushing to reach Zabuza. Naruto would simply stay in the shadows and keep swarming her with clones. Her speculation was proven correct as she systematically found herself forced to take detour after detour lest she found herself surrounded or cornered by the dogged pursuit of never-ending clones. Trapping Naruto had truly been her best option. Even staying on the lake to fight him would have been better than what was currently taking place. In the forest, it was his world. For the time being, the denizens of the woods were him and his shadow clones, and they reigned supreme. As the sun was now high in the sky to stamp out all traces of night and leave no doubt that a new day had risen, Haku was moving as if she were a trapped animal that had not resigned itself to capture yet. Anything that moved in her field of vision was completely out of luck as she lashed out quickly and violently with her seemingly endless supply of senbon, not sparing a second, or in some cases a single glance at her target, only letting the popping sound of dispelling clones tell her that she hit the mark. She couldn't lose them. For every clone she killed off, several more would emerge. He had two ways of tracking her. One was his sonar jutsu to hone in her general direction and send shadow clones that way to check for her. The second way was when Haku killed a clone, he'd be able to tell where she was. However, if she just let them live, they would still find her anyways. She had long since passed the point of panicking. Turning around, she found more clones on her tail. However, when she turned to work out a path to take to lose them or prepare to dispose of them, she saw that damn shadow moving along the ground towards her again. This time she couldn't run away. She was moving right towards it, and stopping on a dime would have brought her efforts to reach Zabuza to an end. The only option she had left was to attack in the general direction of the shadow. She couldn't see the source of it, but she could estimate as her eyes worked double time and found what she figured to be a good 45-degree estimation of the origin of the shadow, figuring that no matter what, she was going to be hit by the technique, whatever it did. Haku decided to at least go down swinging, or throwing in this case. She let loose two fistfuls of her rather deadly senbon in front of her to get rid and behind her to get rid of Naruto's clones. Her clones paid off, as not only did she destroy the clones, the shadow retreated away from her in the direction she threw the bushes, determined that someone had dodged or been forced to let go of whatever jutsu was being used. Narrowing her eyes at the sight, she honed in on a tuft of black hair sticking out from the cover of the plant life, quickly letting loose a barrage of needles. Just as Neil hit him, ugh, troublesome, Naruto. Shikamaru grunted out as he staggered back from the hits he had taken. That almost worked. Sick of having gotten the run around from this team of rookie genin for so long, and having them keep her from getting to Zabuza to assist him, Haku didn't hesitate. She let fly with another set of senbon that hit Shikamaru dead on, and got him to let out a gasp before falling back against a tree, slumping to the ground. Haku moved in to ensure he was out of commission, but a feminine shout of Shikamaru alerted her to the blonde female member of the squad heading out toward from her own hiding place as she tried to cut off the ice-wielding missing nin. from doing further damage to her teammate. Haku tried her best to engage. Ino tried her best to engage Haku in close, but she saw herself as the only defense Shikamaru had until Naruto was able to catch up to her himself and fight. His clones had served their purpose for what they had intended to do, but the plan had fallen to hell once Shikamaru was hurt. Unfortunately for Ino, after dealing with Naruto and his clones, which had a far greater capacity in close than her, with fear of adrenaline and anger moving through her system by Zabuza's unknown fate, the fact he was being held back from helping him by these kids detaining her, Haku was quick and merciless to the young girl. While Haku would be the first to admit that her taijutsu was absolutely abysmal, she had her senbon in hand, and Ino wasn't good at defending attacks from Naruto, let alone someone faster than herself. Ino let out a desperate gasp as Haku seemed to float around the punch she threw to make her way to the girl's back. Ino desperately tried to turn to defend herself. There's nothing she used to do. She's so much faster than Naruto. She was never able to finish that thought as Neil found its way in the side of her neck, forcing her eyes to roll in the back of her head, dropping the girl to the ground. With two getting around her overcome, Haku didn't feel like sticking around to try and deal with Naruto once he was able to arrive with his seeming infinite backup. Sparing one glance at the unmoving getting duo, she kept moving towards what she saw the explosion earlier. Haku's barrage on him inside the dome mirrors had taken its toll on Naruto. Once the needles were removed from his body, he realized he'd been hit in areas by Haku that would intentionally slow him down. A few more and he wouldn't have even been able to stand up, let alone continue to fight. Ino had gotten him out right at the right time. A few more, his mobility shot. Naruto made up for his lack of speed by making three shadow clones. His chakra dispersed evenly between them and forced them to provide the raw chakra for his clones that he would need to corral Haku towards Shikamaru's shadow. After bouncing around her for a bit, allowing Shikamaru and Ino to get into their positions, his clones did their jobs perfectly. They were slower, but the sheer amount of them that he was able to create made up for his own physical deficiencies. He discovered that if he used chakra echolocation jutsu, his clones could get the same sight of the area that he could. This was by the main Naruto, who lagged behind to triangulate Haku's position and guide his clones. He'd been impressed and nerd when he realized the rate that Naruto was cutting a swash through his clones, especially when she started taking out his platoon commander clones, eventually keeping his company of shadow clones from being able to reform. When she finished off his three original clones, keeping him from continuously flooding the area near Haku with clones, his blood ran cold, especially when a quick check of his sonar jutsu let him know that Haku was right by Shikamaru and Ino. His legs had never burned so intensely in his life, as his muscles seemingly demanded him to stop and rest, but he continued. Another check revealed Haku was no longer there, but two bodies were, and they weren't moving. He burst into the area. Naruto first laid eyes on Ino, on the ground, not moving. Ino! He ran over to her and turned her over to find she gave him no reaction whatsoever. Ino, come on, wake up! Reaching to test her pulse, he pulled his hand back like he'd been burned when he didn't even find one. No, come on, you're tougher than that, just wake up! Kafta's sigh forced him to turn his head to find Shikamaru sitting against the tree, his body full of needle as opposed to the single one in Ino's neck. Carefully picking his blonde teammate up, Naruto carried her over to Shikamaru and set her down by him so that he could check over her. Shikamaru, I'm sorry, I wasn't fast enough to keep up. You guys can't die on me here. This was our first real mission. Second real mission, idiot, Shikamaru said quietly with a smirk. He finished the first one, so I guess we weren't completely worthless, right? As long as that bridge builder guy is safe and finishes the bridge, we finish this one too. Naruto shook his head desperately as he felt tears stinging his eyes. No, we didn't, damn it. This mission isn't successful if we don't all make it back. Come on, you lazy bastards. Show some fight for once. Don't fucking give up. Shikamaru's eyes started closing. Crying, Naruto. Man, that's so uncool. And again, you were never really one of the cool guys, just like me and Choji. That's what I like about you. He finished as his lids closed completely. After saying that, Shikamaru's body went limp against the tree and didn't move again, just like Ino. Naruto looked back at the young Yamanaka girl and couldn't keep his eyes on her as he looked down at the ground. With one hand, he closed his eyes before punching the ground repeatedly, hard enough to break his hand. With his good hand, Naruto gathered up more chakra to make the chakra echolocation jutsu and let out a pulse to allow him to see Haku moving swiftly towards where he presumed Asuma and Zabuza were. Clenching his jaw shut tightly, his tears were freely falling down his face. He couldn't comprehend how angry he was. It was his fault. He knew he was the one that needed to be near them in case of trouble. A as he was the only one that was suited to deal with an opponent as dangerous as Haku directly, but his body chose to crap out on him when he needed it to go a bit longer, and now his teammates were dead, all because he wanted to war someone that he thought was his friend, all because of Zabuza and Haku. Naruto stood straight up, pulled down his goggles over his eyes to hide his tears, and finally let out an anguished yell of rage and sorrow. Haku! He then immediately charged after Haku, dead set on finding her and keeping her from bringing harm to his sensei the way she had done the other members of his squad. This was a situation that he had created. It was his fault. He was the one that had to handle it the best way that he could.
Asuma versus Zabuza. Asuma had cleared back from the explosion he caused as it started something of a small forest fire.
Asuma was sure he could put it out, but at the moment he needed to confirm his kill. He just really wasn't looking forward to going inside the fire to find Zabuza's corpse. There was really no way he survived that, though. Zabuza had tried to conceal himself inside the ash from Asuma as a poor man's substitute for his miss. Too bad for him, as only part of Asuma's jutsu.
Woo, blew his ass to kingdom come, he said, looking at his handiwork trying to peer through the flames. Wish I could see in there, though.
A yell of pure anger erupted from within the flames as Zabuza emerged and swung a deeply cracked executioner's sword at Asuma, who jumped back, but still got slashed violently across the chest of his flak jacket. The density of the jacket was probably the only thing that kept Zabuza's attack from getting through his organs and finishing him off right there. Dropping to one knee momentarily before standing back up, Asuma clutched his wound and glared at Zabuza.
How'd you possibly walk away from that?
You were right in the middle of it. He then noticed much of Zabuza's body was covered in deep, intense burns. Most of his front was horribly wounded. His facial wrappings were mostly burned off, revealing his shark-like teeth as he breathed in heavily, trying to keep himself out of shock.
The executioner's blade kept me from kicking the bucket on the last one, Zabuza admitted, pointing to the crack on the blade that seems to cover the entire sword.
That was until it seemed to absorb Asuma's blood. Been coated with it. After taking in all his blood that it had taken on its reformed, it reformed to its original perfect appearance, not a crack or nick on it.
Gotta love this thing.
Asuma groaned in exasperation as he got back into his shaky taijutsu stance.
This is ridiculous. I'm seriously losing blood here, and that last attack should have blown off some limbs. A sword is that dense that it was able to take most of the brunt concussive force from the explosion. You're good, Zabuza said, slowly lifting his large sword into a basic kendo stance. You and Kakashi are the best fights that I've had in a long time.
You say that like I've already lost, Asuma said, gripping his trench knives tightly. Zabuza had gotten him good with that last attack, but from looking at Zabuza, the former member of the Seven Swordsmen of the Mist, they had taken some serious damage from their battle. His injuries were far more numerous than Asuma's, but the blood loss from the Konoha Jonin could be detrimental to his success in the battle if he didn't end it quickly or stop the bleeding somehow. Before they could continue their battle further, a smirk came to Zabuza's face before Asuma could wonder what about the issue. He was forced to dodge Neo's launch to him. He bit back a curse as the person who attacked him came from the surrounding forest.
No, did she beat him? Did she kill them? He thought to himself worriedly. Haku,
Zabuza said as he watched her draw closer to him slowly, keeping her eyes on any move Asuma might make on her way to her master.
You certainly took long enough to deal with those damn brats. Had some trouble, Haku nodded.
I'm sorry, Zabuza-sama. I finished up as quickly as I could after I saw the explosion take place. They were better than they appeared to be.
Asuma's eyes widened before he started growling angrily at what Haku was insinuating and prepared to attack when everyone felt a crushing presence surround them. Asuma immediately had a flashback to 12 years earlier and swallowed a lump of fear down his throat, realizing who it was.
Don't panic. You know who this is. It might actually be a good thing for once, he thought with a wait-and-see attitude,
all while preparing for a response, just as an orange blur jumped through the trees and slapped hard into Haku. The movement was so sudden that Zabuza's sword, which he had prepared for an attack, didn't come close to touching the person before whoever it was hit Haku with full momentum and repelled her and himself out of the area from near Zabuza. Forgetting about Asuma momentarily, Zabuza had turned to chase after and attack the newcomer before Haku could be killed. With the power he felt and with the amount of bloodlust he felt from it, he knew Haku had no chance. Unfortunately, forgetting about Asuma was the last thing he needed to have happened, as it ended abruptly without warning. For claiming that Haku was just a tool, he certainly cared too much about that tool for one instance, and that was all someone as wily as Asuma needed. Asuma threw one of his trench knives at Zabuza. As anticipated, he lifted his sword to block it,
with the flat of the blade. However, the chakra flow going through the special metal in the weapon was more effective than the kunai he threw earlier. It pierced through Zabuza's sword, burying itself into his chest up to his sternum. Zabuza's eyes went wide as he let out a gasp as Asuma got around to his side and took an angle before using flying swallow to cut clean right through him. Zabuza stood perfectly still before a massive spray of blood flew from his torso and he dropped to the ground, cut almost clean in half, dead. So stupid. You didn't have to die here, idiot. That's why we came here in the first place. Asuma didn't spare him a glance as he began hurrying in the direction that Naruto and Haku came from. I gotta see for myself what happened to Shikamaru and Ino. Naruto can wait for now.
Again and again, it happened. Like clockwork, almost. Haku had stopped flying through the air and had almost come to a stop, rolling violently along the ground before trying to get steady and use the momentum to reach her feet. But each time she did, she was punted or bashed away further, rather violently, by the orange blur that had hit her in the first place. Eventually, her body hit the trunk of a tree with a sickening crack, and she slumped to the ground, sitting against it. Behind her mask, her eyes were fluttering open and closed before she realized why she had run away from the genin she had been fighting in the first place. Shakily, she tried to stand up, tasting the blood in her mouth, and knowing that she had broken more than 5 ribs, at least, in addition to a broken right femur due to almost falling as fast as she stood up. Instinct suddenly started blaring for her to move somehow, and she rolled to the side as a punch shattered the bark of the tree she'd been against, cracking the trunk itself. She finally got a good look at her attacker and fought back, gasped,
Naruto!
Naruto growled at her angrily. His appearance was now radically different from the boy that had met her, not one morning previous. She was unable to see his eyes behind his goggles, but his brow was furrowed in pure malice. His nails were longer and more resembled claws. His canines were more pronounced and sharper. His spiky blonde hair looked wilder. His whisker marks grew thicker, darker than normal. He looked thoroughly enraged from the intense and deadly glare he directed at her. So overwhelmed with the sudden aura of darkness from the boy, she was hardly able to reach for weapon, but it did her no good anyway, as the semblance that hit him almost immediately dropped from his body to the ground, only elicited an angrier growl from him as he blurred out of her sight, leaving an orange haze in his wake to indicate the direction he'd gone. Haku couldn't even keep her eyes on him as he bounced around the area off trees, keeping her off balance and leaving a trail of orange that dissipated into the air. As she looked around, he appeared in front of her and grabbed her by her neck tightly. Haku's eyes behind her mask almost bulged out of her head at the immediate pressure that had been applied from the strangling. Haku desperately clutched at his arm, audibly choking and hacking as he held her off the ground with one outstretched arm and shoved her against the tree hard enough to crack the bark of her body. The intensity of the slam against the tree removed the mask from her face, revealing the tears that were coming from her eyes due to the lack of air she was getting. She was barely able to choke out the loose syllables of the phrase.
I'm sorry, Naruto.
Shutting her now blood-red eyes, she waited for him to finish her off, as she had seen him cock his fist back prior to shutting her eyes. The smash that followed, she assumed it to be her face. There was no pain as he hit her hard enough to concuss her to the extent she couldn't tell how hurt she was. The following 5 smashes then followed, soon after the attention in her neck faded, she was dropped to the ground. She felt wet drops fall on her face as she looked up to expect Naruto's hands to be dripping in her blood. We saw him leaning with his forehead against the tree, tears dripping down from the bottom of his goggles.
You killed them!
Haku wheezed and gasped for air desperately, having no idea why he didn't kill her from choking her alone.
Why did you stop? She asked softly,
her voice unable to go any higher due to the damage her throat had taken.
I killed your friends.
Was it supposed to be this way? Naruto yelled as he smashed the tree as hard as he could with his forearm. An elbow 3 times.
We didn't have to fight. Gato was gonna pay you, wasn't gonna pay you no matter what you did. Even if you did beat us up here, you still had a whole other team to deal with.
Why? Zabuza told me, she said. As usually explaining the reason the sun rose in the morning, no matter how I felt about it, it was his command. I am his tool.
Stop saying that, Naruto snapped at her, grabbing her collar and jerking her back to her feet, pushing her against the tree again. People aren't tools. You're a human being, damn it. You have free will. All this could have been avoided if you'd grown a backbone and just spoken up. You know you were wrong. You knew that this was stupid. So tell me what's going through your head when you were coming out here.
Let it go, Naruto. Naruto turned to see Asuma walking towards him, Ino and Shikamaru over his shoulders. He slowly walked towards him and stopped short by a few feet.
Did he beat it back? Did he even know what was happening? No. He somehow calmed down. That's good. He walked directly behind Naruto and looked at Haku, who once she got a look at Asuma, looked at him rather pleadingly, asking him a silent question that she knew he had the answer to. Asuma simply shook his head, no pity in his gaze on the girl. Haku looked down, blinking back more tears as the color of her eyes began returning to normal. I see. Naruto, please kill me. Naruto looked at her in shock before his face turned almost stone-like. No, you're not getting off that easily, he said, getting her to squirm weakly in his grip like it was iron. Naruto pointed at Ino and Shikamaru's shoulders. You're going to live with that. You're going to live with Zabuza being dead, just like I have to live with being too weak to protect them the way I was supposed to. Her tears started falling from behind his goggles again before Haku could dispute and beg him to kill her. Naruto grabbed her forehead and abruptly smashed her head back against the tree, rendering her unconscious. Naruto picked up her lifeless body and turned to Asuma. I'm ready to go back to the house now, Asuma. Sensei, Naruto said bitterly, listlessly, in a voice that sounded dead. Asuma reached into one of the undamaged pockets of his vest, carefully so not to disturb Ino and Shikamaru, and stuck a cigarette in the boy's mouth, lighting it for him without a word, as he did the same for himself. And that's why I do this, kid. Not because it's cool, but because it's a coping mechanism. You handled as well as you possibly could have. He motioned for his head and began to carry the other two genin back to the house. Come on. Naruto just stood in place, the smoke stick in his mouth, not even trying to enjoy it before he finally started moving behind Asuma at a reserved pace. They walked for quite a while, not saying a word between them, until they stepped out from the forest, signifying that they're near Tazuna's. As they neared the house, they saw the slashes on the trees and passing of a cut-up boar, as well as leading to the house, gritting his teeth angrily. Naruto looked at Asuma, who nodded at him, for what he wanted to do was okay. He set Haku on one of Asuma's shoulders along with the others and cracked his neck before rushing away with the body flicker. On the main path towards the village from Tazuna's house, two bodyguards of Gata's, a wheeled katana, were leading a tied-up Tsunami, who walked with her head down in resignation. She fell to the ground on the offside of the path once she was shoved by one of them, one with the eye patch and the lack of shirt. We're in no rush, right? He asked his partner with a sick grin on his face. All we have to do is make sure the bridge builder's daughter gets there. He didn't say when, and he didn't say we're going to have any fun with her either, did he? The white-haired man in the purple hat rolled his eyes. Fine. Just hurry up, damn it. I don't want to be out here all day. Hearing that brat cry and yell for us not to take his mom, he pissed me off. Useless run. You could hear him cry from half a mile out when we were leaving. I might as well go myself just to spite the bitch for creating the kid in the first place. The man first began to drag Tsunami until a voice sounded out. Please, let her go. Both of them looked down the path, seeing Naruto walking towards them. I'm in a really bad mood right now, and I might be overreacting, but what were you about to do with her? The man whose fun had been interrupted whipped around at Naruto angrily drew his sword. Where the fuck I want, Brent? Hold up on Tazuna's daughter for a second, Orochi, the white-haired man said as he drew his own sword. Look at the headband. It's one of those ninja brats that Gato told us to kill if we got the chance. He slowly started stalking towards Naruto. Naruto sighed and flicked open his kunai pouch, putting the men all on edge. Do you know why thugs like you like weapons like those swords you're holding so much? I'm not going to say it's some inadequacy thing that you guys have with your equipment downstairs, because I don't know, and I really don't care, he said, getting into bristle and anger. No, losers like you like weapons, because a normal guy is automatically stronger than another normal guy with a blade in his hand. He can make himself rich and feared by pointing it at others with the intent to harm, because with a weapon, even pussies like you can be tough guys if you got blades in your hands. Man with the eye patch stomped forward angrily in an effort to cut Naruto to pieces, but stopped when he heard his partner cry out in alarm from behind him. He turned and saw another Naruto that appeared behind him, and it grabbed him around the waist, his arms squeezed tight enough to get him to drop his sword on the ground. Ryoji, help! Atomic extermination. Naruto's clone lifted the white-haired man up roughly and jerked his body back to bridge over and slammed the man harshly on his head and neck, leaving it bent in an awkward angle as his body bent over in the direction he was slammed in. Waraji was about to move to retaliate on the clone when he heard Naruto's voice from behind his ear. And what I really hate is a pussy with a blade in their hands. Fade to black. He lifted his arm high above his head on his perch behind Waraji. as his shoulders on his shoulders and slammed his elbow down as hard as he could on the base of the neck. The mouth of the hired thug twisted in agony before he bonelessly dropped to the ground in a heap. Naruto and his clone that attacked alongside him stared at the two dead men before turning their attention to a clone that was cutting Tsunami loose. Upon being freed, she latched onto the clone for dear life and hugged it tightly. Naruto walked over and dispelled his clones before helping her up. "Are you okay?" he said, goggles still down over his eyes. She ignored the cigarette in his mouth as he wasn't even really smoking. Plus, he had just saved her life, probably more than that, and nodded. "Yes, thank you. You got here just in time. Thank you so much." Naruto's lips quirked slightly before a frown found its way back to his whiskered face. "Well, the hero always arrives at the last minute." He proceeded to assure that Tsunami was all right until he saw Asuma walking down the road, still carrying everyone. Only Haku was now tied up. The man seemed to have a serene smile on his face as he walked through, even ignoring the corpses that now littered the path. Naruto walked over to his sensei and began to speak. "I kept them from doing anything to Tsunami, Asuna sensei. Gato tried to kidnap her. I hope you fucked them up. Gato's a prick." Feminine voice weakly from Asuma's shoulder, getting the man to grin wider. Naruto stood still as a statue as he stared at Ino Asuma's shoulder. "Can you say that again? I think I'm starting to snack. Gato's a prick," the voice again said again weakly. Ino weakly lifted her head, locking her blue eyes on Naruto's. "I heard you won." She motioned her head weakly to Haku on the other shoulder. "I can see that you won too. Way to go, Naruto." She finished with a small smile. "Ino," he said as he lifted his goggles off his face and walked towards her slowly, putting a hand on her neck, feeling her pulse, getting her to arc a delicate eyebrow in confusion. "You're really alive. Oh man, don't ever do that again. I've never been so scared in my life." He looked over at Shikamaru. "What about him? Is he alive too?" He started shaking Shikamaru. "Shikamaru, speak to me." The boy groaned lowly and kept his head lowered. "I finally get an excuse to sleep, and the first thing you do is wake me up. You troublesome bastard." A smile grew on Naruto's face. He put his goggles back down over his eyes to hide the tears building in his eyes again. For a positive reason this time. How to Train Your Genin. Tip 7. Appropriate retaliatory force. Moderation for a ninja is important. Use what you need to win and nothing more. Every new shinobi wants to learn the big flashy techniques that they heard about ever since the concept of nintai or genjutsu was initially introduced to them. But the knowledge of how and when to use the jutsu is just as important as the hand seals needed to activate the technique in the first place. Jumping into a battle and using your most powerful jutsu or tool or whatever is all well and good if your opponent's blind, deaf, and dumb. Because any opponent worth a jutsu or technique of that caliber is going to need to be worn down before anything like that would even hit them in the first place. Unless they're so far below you that it works right off the bat. And if that's the case, there's no need for you to use a jutsu that strong in the first place. And most powerful jutsu are very chakra costly. Unless you can generate chakra like a power plant, you might want to keep as much as you can for when you actually need to use it, because most battles are never straightforward. Also, some ninja are shown to be wily enough to reconstruct or reverse engineer certain jutsu from sight memory. For those of you that are short of memory, there's actually an entire Kekkei Genkai based off this single ability. So joining the sensei, teach your genin squads some discretion. There's a time and place for everything, and when it's not that time and place, you'll know it, because you're going to be taking a beat down when you try it. Jutsu list. Collapsing triangle point swing. Defensive, supplementary collaboration jutsu. When one member of Team 10 is trapped or surrounded, another will sneak onto the scene and utilize substitution to switch place with them. Uzumaki and Naruto will then create a shadow clone that will use it to again substitute with the still trapped team member and free the entire team, leaving the shadow clone behind to direct enemy attention until it's dispelled. By this time, Team 10 will have either counterattacked or will have left the immediate area to regroup. This can be done with only two members of the team, but the necessary member must be Uzumaki Naruto for his shadow clone jutsu to provide the last expendable body meant for the final substitution. Atomic Extermination, B-rank taijutsu, offensive. From behind, the user will grab their opponent around the waist, and if possible, the arms, to keep them from moving, and will sharply pop their hips and lift the enemy off the ground.
Jewel then abruptly bridges their body back and falls, seemingly on top of their head. Only the opponent's head will land far before the victim, before the user's, and will keep the user from smashing into the ground. Using the full weight of both the user and the victim's head and the neck will take the full brunt of the weight of both, along with the speed and power used to execute this move. After the first slam, the user will roll through their bridge and repeat the process as much as needed until the opponent is rendered unconscious or dead. Fade to black, C-Rank Taijutsu. Offensive. The user uses 12 to 6 vertical elbow strikes to the base of the enemy's neck. This move can either paralyze or kill an opponent if used by a skilled practitioner. It is fast, it is very violent, and a sudden way to attack someone. It is best used while undetected by an enemy, but it can also be used in a full-scale fight when used on top of an enemy's skull, where it can fracture the skull and kill the enemy, an enemy as well. End of chapter notes. Ow, my hand hurts. Having no insurance sucks. I hate being broke. Kenshi out.